Welcome to Fish Talk, a talk show about fish on the Kuskokwim. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Because of technical problems, we weren't able to hold a call-in show like we usually do for Fish Talk today, so we're bringing you an interview we recorded with our guest instead. And today on Fish Talk, we're talking about the low king salmon numbers on the Kuskokwim. We're halfway through the run, and numbers from the Bethel test fishery show king salmon numbers similar to 2012 and 2013, when the kings crashed. People here remember those years as the lowest ever recorded, with each year bringing about 100,000 kings and tight regulations since. This year could be another record low. Joining me in the studio to talk about this issue is Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Sam Cotton, the Alaska Director of the Division of Subsistence, Hazel Nelson, and Fish and Game Kuskokwim Manager, Aaron Potter, and researcher, Zach Liller. Translating the show into Yupik is Peter Atchek. So, why are the king salmon numbers so low this year?
Research Coordinator, Zach Liller. That's a very good and timely question. Simple answer is we really don't know. We expected the return to be very similar to last year. There's certainly some uncertainty in our ability to predict the number of fish that are going to come back any given year, but they're definitely coming in weaker than we expected.
Im nasuekhoqwanika qaillokapikmai pilrit tuallokaatin khoqa mai amarlapugnatangiitterlerit.
Commissioner Cotton, you said at the meeting yesterday that you hear people's concerns, but your primary duty is to the fish, to reaching escapement, to making sure people aren't overfishing. So how do you balance or navigate this duty to the fish that you have, but also to people's need to fish?
It's been made clear to us through the meeting yesterday and other encounters we've had. We were up in Aniak yesterday. It's and just from people that weren't necessarily at the meeting, that people want to go fishing. They need to fish. It's extremely important to them. We hear that. We recognize that. We understand that. And we would love to assist in providing opportunities for people to harvest fish. We have a very strong responsibility to ensure that we achieve escapement goals so that there will be fish in subsequent years. So it's a balance that is not always easy, but we're seeking to achieve that balance. We're in discussions right now about how best to offer an opportunity to fish in spite of the fact that Chinook salmon numbers are extremely low.
Una apta una makuta nakatigato tungitununa ngayokat mani mani Alaska mi chinhuk mai kahit chinhuk makut challenge mana yoka chinhuk watin
And are there any options on the table right now?
There are some options, and we've had some discussions with the United States, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, on how best to consider those options. And I know that our staff here, Aaron Potter, Zach Lillard, others here, are in close contact with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We're working closely with them to try to determine the best way to offer an opportunity while at the same time doing our best job to conserve Chinook salmon.
And it has to also, I guess, be stated that from the mouth of the Kuskokwim to Aniak is currently under management of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and then from Aniak upwards under state management. Of course, working in consultation. Though, can you say what any of those options are that are being considered?
Well, it just gets a little technical, but at the end of the day, we are considering an opportunity to allow drift gill nets to target sockeye and chum salmon. And we recognize that there'll be some incidental catch involved with that. That if you're using gill nets, that's just going to allow for some Chinook take as well. So that's how, you know, the management structure that you use to get there. There's some options there that may not be very interesting, but at the end of the day, the hope is that we can find a way to allow an opportunity with drift gill nets for to target sockeye and chum.
Pikatat kiwa ukutuka U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service at my makutat itibakchovitrit makut nakatam tatit mavitrit halrit mavit kuskofagun my hukchovikrit salisukonika im tamakutang sluki kanat sluki suk my mana ikirutkat wankut nun. Naksoyulgan big im Nranganachtulin and Naksoyulgan and Mani, Tamana Achtak Mai, Talekhat Mai, the Manakok Turvikat Watten im Tarayak von Olun, Rikios Kuning Mai, Tamana Mai, Kasun Asinatun, Pilka, Tamana Mai, Tangvaka, Talezur, Tamakunik, Ikirs Kuning. Pitsakaht knaki makuta tagayakwit ilangachik niluki tawa tagong pingran tamana may kanat ka taikirutlakanun yugunun man naksoyulgani.
And one person at the meeting in Bethel yesterday asked if a disaster could be declared if we reached that point, and you said that you really wanted to avoid that. And can you explain why?
Well, what I meant there was we would hope that there wasn't a disaster. And so if there is a disaster, we're happy to try to advance a declaration and try to get some assistance to compensate for that disaster. But my point there was that we're hopeful that that there won't be a disaster.
What nap to kitting maguta pumped a disaster and come manako kayok chico. Kiwakok Tamanakok tki to meet that Tawam Pinakanhtom, what in Pinakap canhtom nutan tamana, my sideagata chibu chikatato manaikai, makut you put money kus from with all the cows, ketun tawatan.
Another person asked if an elder opening could be a possibility this season. An elder opening, as I understand it, an elder has to be on the boat with a family member. It's a set period of the opening. Is that something being considered?
Well, that's the first that was the first request that I was aware of. Now, there may have been some others that I wasn't aware of. I don't think there was. We've done it in the past. A couple of years ago, we had an elder opening. I think that may have been the first time the department's ever offered that. So, yes, we will consider that. But I haven't had a chance to talk with our staff about what might go into that decision, whether there's some problems I'm not aware of. But that is a possibility.
What until Tinretoka Kuvia Yugnaut? What in the hook Chivonikoka
And then the government shutdown possibility that's approaching. If the legislature doesn't pass a budget soon by the end of the month, we would be facing a government shutdown. How would the Kuskokwim fishery be affected?
The Kuskokwim fishery is in the same category of so many other things that the state government's involved with. So what I would say is that there's a lot of uncertainty about what would happen. We've never faced this. It's unprecedented. There's never been a government shutdown in Alaska. Other states have experienced it. And so there's case law that where the courts have told the government what they could and couldn't do under those circumstances. So we're plowing new ground on that subject here. Our hope is that fishing wouldn't be interrupted. It's an important part of the of our constitution that requires us to manage fish on a sustained yield basis. We want to provide access to those fish, and it's especially important when we're talking about salmon because there's a timeliness element to this that may not be the same for other functions of state government. We can't hope that the salmon would wait around. We all know that. So we're very anxious to continue to maintain our management structure for especially salmon fishing.
Is there anything that you can foresee that if the government did shut down that these specific things would happen or not happen on the Kuskokwim?
We're working on that right now. And again, we're working with the Department of Law. The Attorney General is really the person that's going to tell us what we can or can't do. We're in the process of identifying those things right now. But we're still very hopeful that the legislature will act. Recent signals from the legislature suggest that they're not going to allow a government shutdown. So that's our first hope. That's what we expect to happen, but we're doing the best we can to be prepared if it doesn't. And again, we recognize the importance of maintaining fisheries, and we'll do everything we can to avoid shutting down fisheries.
Manakok ang wikta man state ng sumagot sa tibulakak tatwat nukok man ang wiyaktit ang wikt putok man na im arulak ng kung arulak si kan matum igalum ikoni takot nres kung piyos kumkung waso ka takot nres kung makunung im umgiyug ngakok talis kigo watin ma kaitin kuktamana wat apta kaitin kuktamana im mani naksusput aktu machikaw tau kanaktuk wat mani kuk state ami Alaska mi makut tamakut im akula kata wasoka umkata umsikata tal man nagato naksusput sa laktu machikaw tal tawamkto im chingu maisin wat nagato man na akulan itlakata makut chibulis putgato makut man state ami chalisu im tawamkto pilis umsikan kukto mo piinga chiko tuno upkuchiko tuko pichakat kuna ko umsikan sa taga man na talakso ng akalo ko mani naksulput mani ko sa kukwagmi.
So at the meeting yesterday, many people had concerns about the Bering Sea pollock fishery and if that was affecting or maybe causing these low king salmon numbers as they catch bycatch of king salmon that are headed towards the Kuskokwim. Will you address these concerns?
Yes. The simple answer is yes, there is an impact. Any Chinook salmon that was a Western Alaska fish that was specifically heading for the Kuskokwim that's taken in a pollock net has an impact. Now, so it becomes a matter of how much of an impact. And in recent years, When I say we, the The North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, got to get my organization straight here, has put limits on the pollock fishery as to how many fish they can catch. And we've recently even lowered those limits for periods when there's low abundance of fish. So that's relatively recent action by the council to limit how many fish those pollock nets can take. And in fact, if they hit those limits, they are shut down. We have a pretty good idea. All those boats are observed. We have a pretty good idea how many fish are being caught out there. The fleets have incentive programs that they get punished if they are an outlier, if they're a bad actor. So there's a lot of internal incentives within the fleet to perform well. If they encounter a lot of fish, they will move. But the simple answer is yes, there is an impact, and it's to date this year, I think the fleets have taken in the neighborhood of 27,000 Chinook salmon. In the neighborhood of half of those are considered likely to be heading for Western Alaska rivers, and a portion of that half would be headed for the Kuskokwim. But it gets further complicated by the fact that they aren't all going to be spawners, this year's spawners. Some of those fish will be one-year-old, some will be two-year-old, some will be three-year-old. So even a smaller percentage of those fish will be actually heading for the spawning streams this year. So while yes, it does have an impact, it's not as significant as some people might think, but it is an impact.
Yesterday at the meeting, you all traveled to Aniak. And what did you hear there of concerns? How can you address some of those concerns?
I don't think there was a lot of difference in Aniak than any place else on this river where people are, in need of opportunity to harvest salmon. So we heard that loud and clear in Aniak, just like we're hearing it in Bethel. And I suspect any place on the river we would visit, we'd hear the same thing. So strong concern, encouragement for us to find a way to allow for some harvest. But at the same time, a recognition that conservation is extremely important. So I don't think we heard much different in Aniak than we'd hear any place on the river.
Director Hazel Nelson.
Yes, I think listening to the comments from the elders at the working group yesterday, some of them were expressing a lot of concern about conserving Chinook for our future generations, and some were expressing concern for feeding their families now. And we need to find a balance for that. But one of the things that I find heartening is that both the state and federal agencies are listening to what local people have to say through both the working group and the Tribal Fish Commission.
Up the Aquaco Anirami with a Sapchini Tamkni Tussi Tiwa Watten Anirami Hoksali Sumani Kuskofagmi Yugut Watten Tamat. Аюрлутин хуқаннаагут маай ахтаққнилуку маай маай нэқсуюгнгалхкатин цаалиллу уатн имчингуумат хоқюгут маай нэқсулхкатинга маанаа иккертерлуку цаалиллу анин нэққорлукиилхсалаахкута им тариақфит им чивуламтнун неққкатнун тамаана пики таматумхсалнитақут Talisaguna Arnach Sali Tulre Makuni Kyu Kan Ilakra Watten Ilum Hook Makuta Anin Ksukia Kununa Tivu Lempton Mai Perkau Talisu Mai Nita Kokhook Nits Hook Watten Rato Mai Naksrugiak Niluki Makut Makumit Tal Kagniluki Makuninga Nakanang Nakatuk Muning. Tamakut hukka niitlhit teotau sleta huk tamakut tangvok sikka chali isu kaasin asinrakun pinginakshka tamatum takut ginakshikut.
So yesterday at the meeting, many people expressed concerns that if fishing continues that's using methods that don't target salmon, then they're catching whitefish. And there are concerns that are whitefish being depleted in the Kuskokwim. Is there any evidence of that?
Aaron Potter, area manager. Not so far as we have. Our understanding of total abundance of whitefish species in the Kuskokwim is pretty limited. We are starting to collect a bit of information with the sonar program that we've got in the Kuskokwim right now. We're starting to get an estimate on total number of whitefish species that are entering the Kuskokwim. So we have heard that sentiment through these years where we've been real conservation-minded on king salmon, but trying to provide subsistence opportunities for other species. It's something that's it's on our mind for sure. And hopefully we'll start to get a little better handle on what the total harvest, total run size of whitefish species looks like on the Kuskokwim.
So right now the department doesn't have any of those numbers, like no baseline numbers to go off?
As far as I'm aware, no.
At this point, the department does not have a good handle on the total number of whitefish for any whitefish species in the Kuskokwim River. There's been quite a few directed studies led by Sport Fish Division as well as U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to better understand spawning habitat and migration patterns between feeding grounds and spawning grounds. There's also been some additional efforts here in recent years to get better understanding of the harvest of different whitefish species, but that's really what we have at this point. We do not have a good estimate of how many there actually are and how that might fluctuate over time.
So really the best way that you could determine if the whitefish population is changing is through fishermen's observations?
Yeah, I think at this point that's an excellent way. That's the best indicator that we're going to have at this time.
Makutuka im asat nakit akhtakhaluki makuta akaki et mani pisuktuk et mani im tamakutuka kasayukat huki kisituka kiwa nasutuk maikukma im Chanangato my chorvik chorvisi yaksalam tumakuta kaki ta mani pisok ngak tu kite tamakut hoka im tamakuning chorvik salam in my paka im kasayu kapkat nasuit talisa im tawam hook my im tangvangite, you know, my hook being acted. Чорвилхкатн тамаакута каакиигит нэқтлаалаат маани маани писууқнгааттуккаит talisu tawam ko kaisun pilkatamana arnaksait ta chal tawam naqsutulinnurtum tamakut qanamtilqitkun tammai tamakullaita taringummat mai qall ayuqsritkun.
And so before the 2017 season started, the prediction was it's going to be a run similar to 2016, where we saw the numbers climbing up from the 2012-2013 crash. And then so far, the numbers at the Bethel test fishery are showing that that's not the case. The numbers are actually very low. They're similar to that crash from 4 or 5 years ago. Why were the numbers off?
Well, we do produce a forecast for Chinook salmon specifically for the 2017 year. Our forecasts really are starting points of conversation. It's our best understanding and anticipation of what might return for the upcoming season, and that starts to help us provide some framework for our approach to the season. Are we going to have enough to meet our escapement needs? Are we going to have enough to provide for subsistence harvest opportunities? You know, what's that going to look like? Might there be a surplus? And it starts the conversation so that we know how to move into the season. Once we get into the season, we actually start collecting some assessment information. The forecast does still play in the back of our mind as to what our approach, our projected approach would be. But once we start getting information, we start to verify whether that approach is appropriate or not. And so that's something that that's in-season management. That's the crux of what we do for salmon. This year is an excellent example of where we had an idea of what our approach would be at the beginning of the season. We started to implement that approach, and as our assessment has developed, we realized that when we were saying that we would like to provide more subsistence harvest opportunity directed on king salmon this year, we felt that that would be appropriate. Our assessment is telling us that that's really not an appropriate approach. And so we have had that opportunity to use real-time data that we're collecting to effectively manage opportunity and try to meet those escapement priority for escapement goals, but then also a harvest opportunity that we can provide. And really, that's the crux of it. We do get a lot of folks really clamoring for our forecast and our management approach in February, in January. And while those are good places to start our conversation, the real brass tacks where the rubber meets the road is our in-season assessment. It's our in-season management approach. And so I think this is just one of those years that really, really kind of drives home that approach or that point that we just cannot predict exactly how the season is going to play out, and we need to be very responsive to the runs as they occur.
So basically, you don't know what's going to happen until it's happening, until the fish actually show up.
We can have a pretty good idea of. I mean, you're 100% correct. You really don't know until they actually start coming in the river. But I think our forecast methodology has improved throughout the state. The more information we have, the better it can get. The new models that we run, new ways of approaching the same questions, the old age-old questions of how many fish are there going to be, has gotten better. But again, it's once those fish actually show up, that's when we're on the clock.
Fishing game at Makutu Sali Tulrit Man in Nakning. What in Tanghorut Hokkaisen Bichikani Matumi Talre Tive Ki Palata Nakatmani. Tawatin Hokan Ritu Tat Kitki Tunanaki Kas Tanghorloki Su Kas Nayok Skatting Ayok Chikmat Skatting Makut Nakat Mavet Itrakat Mavetu Tkitakat. Tawam ko naso na tutuko wat nukta maya kanira kata wat chupm king wako naksunga kata tawat makuta nakatiga taw tamani taw nutan naso na
Since before this season started, there's been some concerns that the models are too optimistic, or what some people are saying, that the models need to be revised, and that there's actually work being done reviewing what models and how those could possibly change if it's needed. Can you talk about that?
Research coordinator Zach Liller. Well, within the context of the preseason forecast, you know, I would just and the uncertainty that goes into that, to kind of reiterate what Aaron said, you know, the preseason forecast gives us a starting point. It allows us to start developing strategies that might be appropriate for the range of run sizes that we think might come back this particular year. Rather than focusing on the specific number of that forecast, you know, I've been encouraging folks to look at where that entire forecast range falls. The forecast that was produced this year, the entire forecast range was for a below average run. The bottom end of that forecast was for a very weak run. So I do think that we started folks off with good information to help shape that discussion. To the other part of that question, the models that we use to estimate king salmon run size are just that. They're a model. It's a measurement tool. And like any measurement tool that you might have in your house, there's a need to evaluate and recalibrate those things from time to time. That's a normal part of monitoring and modeling salmon runs. We've been engaged with a wide variety of folks over the last couple of years to collect new information to help calibrate that model. We have a couple of interagency teams working on incorporating that new information and helping to advance that model to give us even better information moving forward. But we are in a better place as far as information to help us manage the King Run now than we really ever have been. And we've got a lot of really good folks helping the department, within the department and as well as our colleagues, you know, helping to evaluate those numbers and give us good advice.
Manna kai watan tang khoshkhit khuka manna watan tamana nakit ki pala tamavat tamana khuka ki tukchung ak waloka utu magayung ako I magut khukwatan tang khoshkhit ta tki pala ta nakit tamakuta tamana to tawatan im kituk da utu magayung ako chalisu Tagom maik pagka ikayong kutut may im yugun ng matamak ng chalak tulgan ng tamakot kaisun tkipala ta mawat nakatiga to ayok sakat ng tamatum asigin na kutut kok may na naksu tay chalisu aksu itiga ta makut nakatkipala ta kas kapik ayok ngatkat ng matumi alhakuni alhakko akan tamakun kumay chal liglut ng ika yut ngutut kukwat ng tamakot kasun ato amsaktalut ng mawat kit lakat ng katwasoka tamakot kit ngot lakat ato tangkot kun chal iso chal lasakit kun tamakot Mavet Nakatigato Achakaluki Kas Tkit Katamana Maitang Voyokat Asinoluku.
And there are different university, different government groups looking at these models, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So the state of Alaska has reached out, and we have a model development team that consists of members from the Intertribal Fish Commission, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Office of Subsistence Management. We have some folks from Auburn University who just happened to, by circumstance, had an opportunity to be very active in salmon modeling here in the Kuskokwim over the last couple of years through some grant projects that they've pursued. So we've got a really good core group of folks, which also includes biometricians from State of Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And then there's a separate group of folks, primarily university academics, that's being funded by the Arctic Yukon Kuskokwim Sustainable Salmon Initiative. And both of those model review teams are collaborating together, sharing information, and working to move forward.
So one thing that seems like it could be an indication that this run would be way below average is looking at the parent years, 2012, 2013, when numbers were very low, which would be the parents of the 4 and 5 year olds returning this year. And can you kind of break that down for us?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces there when you start to think about parent years and what's likely to come back and the different conditions that those developing salmon might experience over their lifetime. The parent years, so for any individual year where fish come back to the Kuskokwim, they make it up to the tributaries and spawn, those offspring are going to come back over a series of years. They do not all come back in one block. They come back spread out over time. The most common ages for Kuskokwim Chinook salmon is 4, 5, and 6 year olds. So it's spread over several years. The primary parent years that will make up this year's 2017's run is the 2011, 2012, and 2013. All three of those years were small runs. What's interesting, though, is the siblings, so the younger siblings that have already come back from those parent years looked quite healthy. So even considering parent years, we expected the number of fish coming back this year, specifically from the 2011 and 2012 runs, to be notable, to be fairly respectable. And we just haven't started to see those fish yet.
Muatin kokan kat mab tayog kat chani im alhakuni im ignis kat wasoka piyot kat kawani kuchfit ni wasoka igniyagat ni tamani tamakut ka mab tayog kat tamana aktumat i chali watin kok nakat kiptutu ta ang lisram kung tamab ta kip Kiptunit, tali su matumial hakumi 2017 ami mavet maikpak tamakut kok kiptakat mavet am akunial hakuni 2011, 12, 13 tamani al hakuni tamakut kok ma tamani piuchkat kato mani mai kiptakat naset kitat mai. Tali su alhakwa kana yuksut niluki tamakut kasam tatachit im pyuchtchit gataumani wasoka asani kuigini pyuchtchit pivis kmuksun kiptu niluki.
There was a bit of good news at yesterday's meeting. The Reds and the Chums so far seem to be coming in healthy, coming in strong. And Aaron, can you just talk about those numbers, what's being seen on the river?
Yeah, so far it's still what we would consider early in the Chum and Sockeye run this year. But what we've seen in our Bethel test fish and through our sonar passage has certainly been encouraging. We're seeing favorable ratios for Chums and Sockeyes. So if we were to provide an opportunity, I think folks would be certainly able to catch a number of those and still provide some conservation for king salmon. So I think we're currently tracking above or right at our 10-year average returns for Chum salmon, and we certainly had a really good run of sockeye last year, and I think I got my fingers crossed we'll see another good return this season. So there are certainly salmon here and available for harvest, and just got to find that balanced on opportunity and conservation.
Makut asat nakit takayak fan kalingut ino maikpak ko ka kasayukat im maikuk tanga basit kun makut asat nakit asik tutuk maabot kit maabot kitulrit mai makut tangsit kun wasuka naksumut kun Im asikaluki kuktang tangnaut mai tamakut nakat pin im tki chulrit mavta tau asikaniluki chalisu taim mai tamakutang khokaluki gato ikiktlakat niki utlakat nga tamakun ng naksutlakat ng mai taman tangalun asiktuk mai tang wasat Tamaku tasat nakat mautit itkhayulrit itlrit lumai.
We've reached the end of our show today. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. You've been listening to Fish Talk, a talk show about fish on the Kuskokwim. Have a good day and happy fishing.